Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
Psalm 61, and I'll just read it. Psalm 16, verse 17 and 18, and then we're going to go to Psalm 61, verse 1 and 2. When you have it, say amen. And Samuel, 1 Samuel 16, in verse 17 and 18, it says, "And Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me." Verse 18 says, "Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing and a mighty man, a mighty valiant man and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him." Amen. And then if you flip over to Psalm 61, we could take our thought from out of here. Psalm 61, verse 1 says, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Amen. And I'll just pray. Father, we just thank you for your presence in this place, oh God. God, let your word, oh God, fall on good ground, oh God. Let it produce life and change and healing and deliverance. Continue to let your spirit have its way in this place, oh God. And we will give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And for a thought, I would say this. I love this theme, dealing with the life of a warrior, and I was dealing with that. And so for a thought, we would say the secret weapon of a warrior, the secret weapon of a warrior. And then just this thought I want to tattoo on your spirit is this, is that imitation is inevitable. Just turn to someone and say, imitation is inevitable. Amen. How much time do I have? Do I have 15, 30? Okay, good. Good, I got enough time. All right. And so with this, you know, I love this, you know, I'm a sports person myself, and I love playing sports. And so, you know, as a man, you love to compete. And every chance I get, I don't get to hoop as much as I used to. I done got married and gained a little weight, and my wife cooks good and all of that. So my knees got a little, you know, more miles on them and all that. So I don't get to compete in that aspect. So then I switched it onto the video games, and, you know, I try to murder people on the video games. And any chance I get, I love to compete. That is just a part of who I am. I like this in 1 Samuel here when it begins to talk about, just before that, it talked about how God was looking for someone to anoint. Well, he was looking for him specifically. Samuel didn't know who it was, and the Bible says that he anointed David. Man looks on the outside, but God looks at the heart. And it was significant because David wasn't necessarily a big man. He wasn't, you know, very known for his physical prowess, but God chose him and anointed him. And after God anointed him, in verse 13 of Samuel, 1 Samuel 16, then it comes down, and I like what that servant, the testimony that the servant of the king had of him. And it said this, it said that he was the son of Jesse. He was cunning and playing, but he was a mighty valiant man and a man of war. I like that, you know, because anytime you talk about a warrior, you're talking about someone who is a person of war. In order to be a warrior, you have to be acquainted with war. You have to be acquainted. You can't be afraid of opposition. You can't be afraid of of enemies that come against you. You have to have courage and with the mindset that says, I'm going to overcome anything that comes my way. When you're a man of war, that's someone that looks for opportunities to conquer. That's someone that looks for opportunities to get the victory. Back in this time, they were literally conquering their enemies in the natural. So they were looking for to shed blood. And when the blood, they had the blood on their hands, they knew that they got the victory, the blood of their enemies. And so they weren't timid people. They weren't timid, but they had confidence and tenacity. They were ferocious. If you're a warrior, you have to be ferocious. You can't be fearful. And so I like this, that it said this about David, that he was a man of war at an early age before he even fought. But this servant called him a man of war. And so I like this. And we know that David, he got his name, or he became famous for slaying a giant, which is significant. And it's amazing, even though he was small and the Bible said he was ruddy, but because he had heart, he had tenacity, he didn't look at the size of the giant or the size of the opposition, because he knew that God was with him. He had the power to get the victory. And so a warrior. And so here I begin to I love studying David. And another thing that was attributed to David is said that Saul was a big man as well. And he was a fighter. And so the people, as David began to rise, the people said that Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his 10,000s. That's an amazing thing to be able to literally know that attributed to your name is thousands of deaths of the enemy. And that's what I want to be. I want to be known for slaying the enemy. And so here David is, he's known for slaying the enemy, slaying thousands and thousands. He was in multiple fights and multiple battles. And so he was constantly demonstrating his ability to get the victory as a warrior. And so the thing I like about him is there's a saying that says birds of a feather flock together. And so I begin to kind of study a little bit of the warriors that were with David as well. And if you flip over to First Chronicles in First Chronicles chapter, where is it at here? First Chronicles chapter. Let me flip. Oh, First Chronicles 11. This begins to list some of the attributes of the mighty men that were in David's army. And so it was amazing, because some of them, the Bible says that they killed lion-like men, giants, in a snowy day. These men were just like David. These were men that didn't have no punk in them. They was all faith, no fear. They were fearless. They were courageous. And so these men, some of them, it amazed me, because it said that in verse 13 of 1 Chronicles 11, 13, it begins to talk about how David and one of these mighty men, they were together and they were in a field of barley, but it was just them, and everybody was afraid of the enemy, the Philistines that was around them. But because they were mighty men of war, they was able to defeat the Philistine armies by themselves, back to back. And that's amazing, because sometimes we don't need a whole army of people with us. If you can just get one or two people that will come in agreement with you, that's enough to get the victory in God's army. And so I like this, and I begin to just list. I begin to see all of these men, how they begin to fight. Some of them, they killed giants and Egyptians that were giants, and all of these things, and begin to talk about how one had killed a 300 men just with a jawbone, and another one took the spear of the enemy and killed him with his own spear. And I just begin to say, wow, it almost seems unimaginable, but we know the Bible is true. So this was the accurate account of these warriors. They were fearless. And so I begin to look at that and see, clearly David had to be bad, because he was the leader. They looked up to him. And so if all of these men were looking up to him, I had to say, well, what made David greater than them? It was amazing. And I like how the Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. And here I begin to look and see that David, in order to be a man of war and a warrior, that's not someone who is a novice with the things of war. You have to know your weapons. You have to have weapons, and you have to be skillful in your weapons. And so David, he was skillful with his weapons. He was able to sling that slingshot. He was skillful with the weapons that he had. And so I'm amazed here, but I'm like, but Lord, what is the what made him greater than all of these other mighty people? And so he took me over here to Psalm 61, and it's amazing because it said here, and this is significant as a warrior. It doesn't matter how big you are, how bad you are, how many fights that you've got victory, but there will always be someone that has your number or is able to beat you if you're not on your P's and Q's. And so here, David, even though he was mighty in battle, he was a victorious man, but there were some time that there were some battles that his weaponry, his natural weaponry, wasn't able to conquer. He began to find himself in situations where he was backed up in corners, backed up. He was overwhelmed. And this is why I like Psalm 61, because here it says, it speaks to someone that says that in the midst of all of my victories, there's a time when the enemy has the ability to overwhelm me. And here it says, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. And then it says, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. I don't know where David was when he began to minister this, but I can see figuratively he was in a place that was separated from his comfort. He was separated from his hometown. He was separated from the things that would give him confidence. And sometimes you can find yourself in situations that you're separated from the things that would normally give you confidence, normally give you courage. There's some situations that you can go into that you won't be, your money won't be able to get you out of. You can be the best accountant in the world, but your ability to crunch numbers won't be able to get you out of certain situations. You may have your degree in psychology, and you may be able to figure out everybody's mind and study their mind and this and that, but there's some situations that will still leave you discouraged and frustrated because it's beyond your natural capacity, beyond your skills. And so here, David, this is what I like about David. He wasn't too proud, even though he was a warrior. He wasn't too proud to cry unto the Lord. And this is the thing I begin to realize, is that a true warrior understands not only his strengths, but he understands his weaknesses. And if you don't understand your weaknesses, the enemy will beat you every time. But a true warrior, a true champion, understands his areas of strength and also his areas of weaknesses. And so here David says, from the ends of the earth I cry unto thee. And this is powerful because it says, when my heart is overwhelmed. Have you ever been in a situation that your heart was overwhelmed? That your heart, you just didn't have the answer to get out of the situation, even though you've seen victories before. But have you ever been in a situation where your heart was overwhelmed? And that's amazing because when I was young, I used to have a heart murmurs. I used to have an irregular heartbeat. And with that, it was significant because it's one thing to have an owie or something or cut on the outside. You can look at it and fix it. But it's something when you have a murmur or something happening on your heart, it's hard to get to that. You just have to deal with it. And so when your heart is overwhelmed, you can't rely on your own resources to get you the victory. And so here David has the sense to realize, well, I might be outnumbered in the natural. So when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Can I suggest to you that the secret weapon of a warrior is worship? The secret weapon of a warrior is worship. Not only should I know my strengths, but I have to know my weaknesses, and I have to know where I have struggles. I have to know when I'm overwhelmed. I have to know that if I continue to try to fight this in my own strength, I'm not going to get anywhere. But I'm grateful that I have a relationship with God, that I can say like David, that says, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Is anybody grateful that you don't have to bear your burdens by yourself, but you can say, lead me to the rock that is higher than I? As I begin to look at this scripture, I begin to say, wow, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And you know, and some of the scholars begin to say, well, maybe he was talking about Mount Zion,
because that was the place where the temple was. And I began to reflect on that. And then there was a couple others that began to say, well, you know, not necessarily Mount Zion, but David here, he's trying to get to a place that only God can take him to, that that way his enemies can't get to. And that's significant, because sometimes I might go to my familiar place, but if the enemy knows what's familiar to you, you might go lean on your mom and when you're in trouble, or go lean on your best friend when you're in a bind. But the enemy knows your strategies as well. And so sometimes we have to get to a place that is inaccessible to the enemy. And that's significant. David is saying, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. If I can't get to it, surely my enemies can't get to it either. This is a place that only God can take me. That's why I was so blessed by the worship, because when we begin to worship, it doesn't matter what problems, it doesn't matter what burdens that we come in the door with, but when we begin to worship, we begin to elevate, transcend past the problems that we're facing, and we enter into the presence of God. Is anybody grateful that you're able to worship on today? And I'm almost finished. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I love this, because David is saying, get me to that place that is inaccessible to my enemy. I love that, because if I can get to that place, then I can hear a word from God. I love praise, because praise is the vehicle that elevates me into worship. I never like to praise unless I'm able to fully manifest into worship. It's nothing like being in the presence of the Lord. Have you ever just elevated in worship where all your cares, it just seemed like it washed away? You might have still had bills you had to pay the next day. You might have still been dealing with an issue, but when you're in the presence of the Lord, the Bible declares, in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. And the Bible declares, and the joy of the Lord is my strength. And this is significant, because as a warrior, I can imagine here David is being honest, and he's saying, look, there's some times, even though I'm bad and I know how to fight and I know how to get victories and I've slain giants and I've slain thousands, but there's some times that I can get to where my heart is overwhelmed. I recognize my weaknesses, and because of that, I can't lean on my own understanding, but I have to lean on the strength of God, the Almighty God. This is why Psalm 91 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I like that, because it said he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. That once again speaks to that rock that is higher than I. It's amazing. Have you ever been on a plane? And I love the perspective that I get, how my perspective changes when I'm in a plane versus when I'm on the ground. When I'm on the ground, a lot of times my vision is blocked because of the things that are surrounding me. But if I can get high enough, the things that are surrounding me won't stop my vision, won't stop what I can see. And this is the power of getting in the presence of God. If you can elevate in the presence of God, the problems that seem great today or right now, when I'm in the presence of God, they're not greater than God. They seem high right now because I'm in the valley. But if I can get to the high place, the Most High God, those things that seem high are just like a rubble down here. The things that seem high, the skyscrapers that seem high, when I'm in the air and I'm in the high place, those things all seem small. And that's the power of getting in the presence of the Lord through worship. Worship is the secret of a true warrior, because a warrior understands that when his energy runs out, when his savvy runs out, when his power runs out, he has to be able to tap into a source that doesn't run out. And that's amazing. The Bible calls God the Almighty God, and that's amazing. Here it is, and this is what I like about this, is that when my heart is overwhelmed, is that that I don't have to stay overwhelmed. If I can get to that rock, I won't, when I come back, I won't be overwhelmed anymore. If I can get to that rock, when I get in the presence of God, this is the significance of worship. When you begin to worship anything, you become like the thing that you worship. If you begin to anything you emulate, this is and this is why they call it idolizing. As young kids, they'll look up to somebody and they'll say they're idolizing them. They reverence who they are. They like how they're dressed. They like what they represent. And before you know it, they begin to try to dress like them. They begin to try to talk like them. Whatever you idolize, you begin to try to imitate. And this is significant when we're talking about the life of a warrior. If you're a warrior, that means you're going to go through battles, and some battles are going to be greater than others. But this is the good thing, is that when I'm able to get to the rock that is higher than I, even though I'm beaten down, even though I'm discouraged, even though I'm without strength. And this is why Paul said, when I'm weak, then I am strong. Why? Because when I get in the presence of the Lord and I begin to see how powerful he is, and I begin to see how mighty he is, imitation is inevitable. I can't stay in the presence of the Lord and not begin to imitate who he is. I can't get in the presence of God and something not change with me. I might have been in a valley and I've been loaded with fear, but when I get in the presence of God and I dwell and I begin to worship God long enough, there's a transfer that happens. My weakness goes to him and his strength comes to me. And so now when I come back, I can say, greater is he that is within me than he that is within the world. 1,000 can fall at my side, but 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come nigh me. This is why I say imitation is inevitable. When we get into worship, you become like what you worship. If you begin to worship Tupac or something like that, you'll find yourself with bandanas on and tattoos saying Thug Life. A lot of people I know, they did that. They didn't realize they was worshiping, but that's what they was doing. But if you begin to idolize Beyonce or anything like that, you'll begin to look like her and dress like her and all of this. But if you begin to worship God, the more time you spend with God, his strength will become your strength. His glory will become seen in you. His power will become through you. And you can say, greater is he that is within me than he that is within the world. Give God praise on today. I'm grateful that I can get into worship. And this is why the Bible declares that they that worship God must worship in spirit and in truth. When we get into worship, this is where the power of God is able to be transferred into our life. I'm grateful on today. Give God praise. Hallelujah. The secret weapon of a warrior is worship. David understood that even though that he was great in the natural, but he understood his hall to fame, his hallmark. The Bible says he was a man after the heart of God. He was a man of worship. He wasn't afraid to worship. This is why his wife got mad at him when the presence of the Lord came back, the Ark of the Covenant came back into the temple, because he understood that he needed the presence of God in your life. Does anybody realize that you need the presence of God in your life? We can't make it without the presence of God. And David understood that his secret weapon, when his sword wouldn't work, when his slingshot wouldn't work, his worship was able to get him the victory. And when I get into worship, the power of God, I have no choice but to begin to imitate the power, the might, the strength of God, the God that I worship. It becomes mine, and then I can walk in victory. Amen. Give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. God bless you. Hallelujah. I'm finished. Amen. The secret weapon of a warrior is worship. Never underestimate your worship. God bless you.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.